Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Keith.
I'm Tina, and it's Family Sunday, so...
That's better.
All right.
Hi, everybody. We're glad that you could be with us this morning.
The ushers are coming up to take the offering.
And when they do that, here's a video to help you get involved with church.
So check it out.
What will happen if we snapped our fingers?
I don't know. Maybe some babies will appear.
Time to let you know to check your bulletins.
There's a lot of information in our book.
And you'll also find the connection card.
If you fill out the connection card and leave it on the pew when you leave,
one of our ushers will pick it up for you after the service.
And if you like computers, you can go to our website and find the information there.
The website is full of information, including recordings of the sermons with the slides and everything.
So head on over to evansonavenuebaptist.com or follow us on social media to get connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, so we should bring Tina and Keith back to finish the announcements.
Aw, okay.
Here, try this.
Woohoo! We're back! And just in time to let you know about Pastor Matt's new class starting next week called Listening for Heaven's Sake.
This is a great study that will help you experience extraordinarily better relationships.
If you want to revolutionize your home life, work life, and ministry effectiveness, make sure you're here Sunday mornings starting next week.
Finally, today is a big day. We have a potluck lunch right after the service to lead into our annual business meeting.
Then later tonight, make sure you're there for the community-wide prayer and praise event at Orchard View High School. The prayer and praise starts at 6 p.m.
Check out the website for more information. Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And for the kids out there, make sure you take out your SSK and follow along.
Whoa! What's an SSK?
It's the Sermon Survival Kit. Each kid should have received one before the service, and if they didn't, just raise your hands right now and an usher will bring one to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, The Walk, with his sermon, our favorite wee little man, Zacchaeus.
Ooh, I hope they do the song. Please tell me they're going to do the song.
Here's Pastor Matt. Do you need an SSK?
No, Keith, sorry, bud. We're not going to do the song today, sorry to say. I am going to invite the ushers to come on up. We're going to pray, and then we have a couple of other announcement things we got to do, and then we're going to dive into Scripture together. So, ushers, come on up. All right. Part of what we do is we always pray for an offering, because this is an act of worship as we give back a small portion. Really, I talk for a living, I promise. When we give back a small portion of what God has given us, what we're ultimately doing is we're saying, Lord, we trust you. You've given us 100%. We're going to give back to you just a little bit. And then we, of course, take that money and we use it to advance God's kingdom. So we're just going to pray for that. We're also going to pray and just ask God to move in our hearts as we open God's word together. So let me pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. You are just the giver of so many great gifts, Lord. We thank you for the image that we have of you in Scripture, again, as a father who loves us and lavishes gifts upon us. So, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. As we have given these tithes and offerings back to you, we just ask that you receive them in the spirit with which they are given. Use them, Father, mightily to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and also around the world. Father, in just a moment as we open your word, would you please use it to transform our life? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you guys. All right, my friends, as you can tell, we have a little bit of a different service today. Every fifth Sunday, when we have a fifth Sunday, so I think there'll be four of them throughout the year, We're going to make that a family Sunday. We're doing that for a couple of very, very important reasons. The easy one, the one I'm going to talk about, is this. We have some great, amazing volunteers who help with kids' own worship. So normally we tell the kids, go on, head downstairs. Today you guys are staying here. And part of this is we want to give our kids' own worship volunteers a break so they make sure that they're in worship with us, because that's important. Amen? So would you do me a favor? Would you please give me a hand for all of the volunteers, Sunday school volunteers, nursery, kids' own worship, because our kids are just so important. Amen? So thank you, guys. This is Joy. She's our director of youth and education, and she's going to talk for just a moment. Let me get you a microphone, and then we have a couple of other fun things. So while she's getting geared up for that, just so you guys know, kids, I'm not as cool as Mr. Bob and some of the teachers down in Kids on Worship, so we're going to need you guys to hang in there with me just a little bit. Bigger people, today's sermon is going to be a little bit different than normal, so we're all going to kind of move a little bit on this one, okay? So kids, you're going to hang in there. Adults, you're going to hang in there. It's going to be awesome. Amen? Amen. All right. Miss Joy, would you take it away?
Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think I can hear you. Good morning. Thank you. And I do this to the kids like every week now, don't I? Yes. They're like, oh no, they gave her a mic. We're all in trouble. I really quickly, some of you may be saying, why in the world are we doing this? Why are we making it so our kids are sitting in church? I know they're not thrilled about it. But I want you guys to know that this is really, really important. This is God-mandated, and I want to really quickly read to you out of the book of Mark. This is Mark 10, and I'm starting in verse 13, where it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter it. And he put the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. We have a chance to bless our kids. We have a chance to build a kingdom that will last forever. But we have to help our kids. We have to be the kind of church that loves our kids faithfully. And I think one of the ways that we do this is by getting them used to sitting in church. A lot of times when you have our sixth graders come sit in church, it's the first time they've ever done it for the entire service. And it feels like we're kicking them out of their home. So we want to make this service a home for our students. We want them to feel like this is where that they belong and this is where they're loved. And so sometimes we're going to have to flex a little to make them feel like they're welcome and to make them feel like this is for them. But it's for us too. And if we want to be a church that is faithful, that's faithful stewards of our students, then we're going to need to flex and help them to feel comfortable in church, or else they're not going to come back when they're older. So this is our service to help our kids learn how to sit in church and how to make it fun for them. So please flex a little with us if you're not used to it. Kids, flex a little with the adults. We're gonna try to have fun, okay? I see some muscles over there. Good job. So anyway, thank you, guys. I'm so blessed to serve at this church, and thank you for everything that you do. So.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Joy. All right, so a couple of quick housekeeping things before we dig into God's Word together. First of all, if you're a regular part of Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, I believe this week in your bulletin you're going to find that awesome hot pink little sheet again. If you've already filled it out, don't worry about it. We got your information, but we are going to be redoing our prayer communication approach. And so we're going to be redoing our prayer chain. We're going to have a call option, a text option, an email option. If you want to be a part of our prayer chain, you are welcome to give us that information. Please put your name on there. Again, we're really grateful for the one person that gave us their number with no name. We love you, but we don't know who you are. So if you could do me a favor, put your name on there. If you can be on all three. You can be on one. You can be on none. Leave that on your pew when you leave, along with your connection card. That would be great. And just so you guys know, on your connection card, if there's something you want on the prayer chain, you can put that on your connection card. But there's a little box on your connection card. Because I've had people say, I gave you that prayer request. I didn't see it on the prayer chain. But just so you know, any prayer request you put on the connection card is given to the elders and I, and we pray for you guys unless you give us permission to share it. And that little box, that's your way of telling us it's okay, you want this information to go out, because we're always going to err on the side of we're not going to tell something if the person doesn't want it to go out. So that's how you get all that to happen. So that's going to be starting in February, so this is the last week to get us your information as far as the prayer chains, all right? Beautiful. And then my last humble plea is this. Tonight at 6 p.m., we are having a community-wide prayer gathering. It's at Orchard View High School. It starts at 6 o'clock. Tonight's the Pro Bowl. Nobody watches that anyway. It doesn't matter. The big game is next week. We know that. So you have nothing better to do than pray. Amen? Amen. All joking aside, here's the reason why we do this. I was just having a conversation with Jonathan just yesterday. We were talking about this. Why does it seem hard? Why is it difficult when we read passages like, you know, the fields are white unto harvest, where there should be people just waiting to hear about Jesus, and they're not? And we start looking at what are some of the reasons why, or what can we do to be obedient to God so that we can be ready and helping people get ready to receive Jesus? And there's two things that came to mind: unity in the body of Christ and prayer. Unity in the body of Christ and prayer. We are doing both tonight. We are gathering with about 20 other churches of different traditions. The one thing we have in common is we all believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? We are going to gather as one body. We're going to be praying for our community in a variety of ways. We actually have a number of elected officials that are all coming because they want to be prayed for by us as pastors and by you as the community. So we have, how often do we get to pray for our elected officials in person? They're coming just so that we can do that, and those who want to anyway. So this is our opportunity, Evanston Avenue Baptist. My challenge to you is this: whatever you have planned for tonight, don't. But come to Orchard View Church, 6 p.m. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. That's it. None of us is preaching. I mean, good grief. If you get 20 preachers in the room, do you know how long we'd all be there? No, we're not doing that. We are gathering for one purpose: to be united in prayer. So my challenge to you, Evanston Avenue Baptist, is be there tonight. We're going to have a great meal. We're going to have a great time doing business. But then we are going to unite as the body of Christ to pray for our community. I challenge you to be there, okay? All right, very good. All right, we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. I'm going to invite a very special helper up to come on up, and she's going to read the passage for us today. I'm a little biased about this particular helper. How you doing? You're good? Okay. All right, you stand right here. For those of you who don't know, this is my daughter, Michaela. So, hi. We're going to start right here. I'm going to put this on you, okay? So, she's not preaching, don't worry. Okay. Let's see how this works. All right, I got you, peanut. All right. Oh, excuse me. Okay, go ahead and start. We're going to be in Luke. Okay, now here's the way we do this. We wait until all the pages stop rustling, because that means everybody's there. Everybody there? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Jesus entered Jericho, and it was passing through a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He had gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, there is now a half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today's salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the man,
son of man
came to seek and to save what was lost."
Good job. All right. Oh. All right. I think she did way better at that than I would. Amen? All right. And it's just always good. Anytime we can see our young people gathering around God's word and just celebrating his truth, that's just always an awesome, awesome moment. And yeah, as a dad, it makes me really, really proud. So good job. Now, we're going to do this a little bit differently because we're going to get some of young people, we're going to get some of you guys, I know you have your sermon survival kits and that's great, but I'm going to need some helpers throughout this particular sermon because I want to tell you a little bit about Zacchaeus. So this is the first thing you need to know about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he was called a tax collector. Now, those of us who are adults, we know how much we love paying taxes. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, next week we're going to talk about lying. paying taxes is no fun. I know. But the way that would work then, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Scripture, is they had a deal. Guys like Zacchaeus, they worked for the government, and they were told, you need to bring in this much money. But anything above that was theirs to keep. And so these guys were notoriously crooked. They were criminals, they cheated people, and they were hated. And if you look at your text, it actually says that Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. Ouch! So he was really hated. And he was not a good guy. And so what we see in the scripture, what we see happening here, is we actually see Zacchaeus being held up kind of side by side with Jesus. So young people, could I borrow a bunch, like all of you? I need your help here real quick because we need to talk a little bit about the difference between Zacchaeus and Jesus. Okay, why don't you guys come on up here with me? Okay, I'm going to get this out of the way. Now, I did ask for it. Praise God. That's awesome. All right. Yeah, we're up here. There's Zacchaeus. Now, what you guys see over here is we got this tree over here. Because remember when Michaela read the passage, Zacchaeus was climbing up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus because he was just a short little dude. And then we have over here, we have our cross. And that's something that we remember Jesus when we look at the cross. And so what I have is I have a bunch of these really awesome yellow or orangish signs. I want you to take one of these and hang on to it. And then if you can read, I'll ask you to read it. If you can't read, I'll read it for you. And what we're going to do is we're going to figure out which of these signs tells us about Zacchaeus. There you go, my dear. And which of these signs talks about Jesus. Okay? So, let's see. Who else needs one? There's one. Oh, you need one as well? Okay. There's one for you, good sir. Oh, I'm sorry. I looked right by you there. All right. There's that one. All right. Now, if those of you have ever played the game Apples to Apples, it's not like that. It's not like we're not describing who the people are by the signs we're giving them. This is totally random. All right. Oops. Can somebody? Oh, there we go. All right. There. You got one. There's one for you. Okay. I need to hang on to this one for a second. Hang on. And oh, could this be? Could it work out? We have exactly the right number. Oh, how cool is that? No, I'm not Jesus. I'm just putting it there to hang on to it. And hang on to that one. All right, so I got the Jesus. Yeah, I'm definitely not Jesus. This is the Jesus place where we hang up the Jesus signs. And then we're going to hang up Zacchaeus over here on the tree. Excuse me one second. Ah, big reach. Wow. All right, there we go. So that's where the Zacchaeus stuff goes. So could you guys do me a favor? Could you guys form a little bit of a line here so people can see your cards? Could you guys kind of line up right here and look this way? If anyone has cameras, now's a good time, just saying. Okay, so I'm going to start reading these cards, and I want you guys to tell me if this refers to Zacchaeus or if this refers to Jesus. Okay, first one, Sammy, what does this say?
Good guy.
Okay, who's the good guy, Jesus or Zacchaeus?
Jesus,
you got it. Can you hang that up on the cross? All right, very good. All right, what do you have, my dear? What does that say? Thief. Okay, so is Jesus the thief or is Zacchaeus the thief? Zacchaeus, you betcha. Go hang that up on the little tree over there. What does this one say?
Control.
Control. Ooh, that one might be tough. Do you guys think that's Jesus, or do you think that's Zacchaeus?
Jesus.
Yeah. Hang on to that one second, because that one actually goes, can I borrow you, my dear? Could you come here? Okay. And I want to tell you what this means. So could you stand right here and face that way so we can see? Do you know what yours says? Yours says obey. These two are actually meant to go together because one person was trying to control people and was trying to be in control, and the other person was trying to obey God. So who was trying to control people and who was trying to obey God? Who was trying to control people?
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus, right. And so what was Jesus trying to do?
Obey
God. You got it. So could you hang control on that one over there? And can you reach that one, or do you need some help? Oh, good job. Excellent. That was a fantastic leap. All right. And so what do you have here? We have giving. What's yours say, my dear? Oh, that's cool. These two actually go together. Could you hold it for me just like that? Okay, so what does yours say?
Giving.
And yours says, do you know what yours says? Yours says greedy. Okay. What does it mean to be greedy? Who can tell me what greedy means? Yes, ma'am.
Greedy means like you want everything and you think everything is going to be okay.
Yeah. I want everything and it's all mine. I want to take it. Okay, so was Zacchaeus or Jesus? Who was greedy?
Zacchaeus,
totally. Could you do me a favor, my dear? Can we hang that up on the tree? And so that means Jesus, he was giving. All right, let's hang. There we go. Hang that right there. Can you get that up on the cross? Nope. Okay, I'll help you out there. So there we go. Thank you very much. All right, who do we have here? All right, we have serve, we have self, and let's take Miss Sonia. Why don't you come here? Logan, why don't you come up here? Sonia, what does yours say?
Others.
Logan, what does yours say? Self, you got it. So who was living for himself, Zacchaeus or Jesus?
Zacchaeus.
Yeah, he was out for himself. So Logan, could you go hang that on the tree? And Jesus was there living for others. All right, we're almost done. What do we got here? Casey, can you come here, bud? Because yours goes with this one. Okay, mission. Someone was there for the mission of God, and someone was there for money. Who do you think was there for the mission of God? Jesus or Zacchaeus? Jesus, you got it. And Zacchaeus, what was he all about?
Money.
Money, you betcha. All right, could you get that onto the cross? And I'm going to hang this one up for you because it's starting to get a little bit tall. Is that okay? All right, so yeah, Zacchaeus, he was kind of all about getting more money. All right, who do we have left? We have, all right, let's have Michaela. Mr. What's your name, good sir?
Creedon,
come here, buddy. All right, so we have two on this one. We have bossy and we have power. And then we have serve. So who is here to be bossy, Jesus or Zacchaeus?
Zacchaeus,
right. And who's here to serve?
Jesus.
You got it. So let's get bossy on the tree, and we will put serve. Can you reach that, or do you need me to help you out there? I'll help you out. Just be safe. Hate to have the cross come down on somebody. That'd be bad. All right. And to serve. And what do we have? We have a couple left. We have kind, and then last but not least, what does yours say? Mean. Okay, so generally speaking, who do we think is going to be kind out of all this?
Jesus.
Who's going to be mean? Yeah, that's probably more likely. So let's hang mean on the tree, and let's have kind. Oh, I got some good air on that. Wow. I don't think we could do that one again if we tried. Good job, buddy. All right, so we have all these things. So Jesus was known for being kind. He's all about the mission of God. He was a giving person. He was the good guy. He obeyed God. He served others. Very good. And what do we have over here for Zacchaeus? And this is about Zacchaeus and tax collectors. They were into money and power. They were mean. They were into control. They were into themselves. A lot of times they were thieves, and they were kind of greedy. All right, go ahead and grab a seat, guys. Thank you so very much. Give these guys a hand. All right. So you guys can go ahead and grab your sermon survival kits. And basically, guys, the way that this is being set up in Scripture is simply this. Zacchaeus, by who he was as a tax collector, by who he was in society, Zacchaeus was the opposite of Jesus. That's the way Scripture is portraying him. Zacchaeus and tax collectors in general were out for themselves. And Jesus, of course, was something different. So as a result, big people, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Scripture, tax collectors were some of the most hated individuals in Jesus' community. Because they were Jewish people, just like Jesus is, but they were working for the bad guys, as the kids would say. So they were hated, they were thieves, and generally speaking, this is how bad it was. In Jesus' day, they didn't have pastors like me, they had people called rabbis. And the rabbis literally told people, okay, everybody, if you want to lie to a tax collector, it's not a sin. If you can lie to one and get away with it, it's not a sin. Like, how messed up is that? Like, pastors and stuff telling people to lie to tax collectors? That's how bad it was. These people were hated. And they're being portrayed here as the exact opposite of Jesus. But what's really cool is how Jesus responds. Check it out. Jesus, of course, comes up and he says, Zacchaeus, this guy over here is into money, he's into control, he's into himself, but for some reason he was really curious about who Jesus was. And Jesus comes along and says, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down. And it wasn't just to come down. Jesus says something even more amazing as he says, I want to eat with you. We're going to do that here in just a little bit. If you can smell it, we have a potluck going. Or if you're theologically opposed to the concept of luck, we have a providentially inspired buffet. But we love to eat. We love to sit with people. We love to share meals together. But in Jesus' day, if I said to you, I want to eat with you, I want to share a meal with you, I want to be at the table with you, what I would ultimately be saying is, I think of you as my friend. I think of you as somebody that I want to hang out with. You're somebody that I want to be like. And so here's Jesus, this perfect guy who's God himself. He's here to serve and obey God and minister to others. And he's talking to the guy who's all about himself and all about money. He's saying, Zacchaeus, you come down here. I'm going to be at your house today. I want to hang out with you. I want to be your friend. And for all of us as adults, that should shatter us just a little bit. Because if we're honest, there's two things that are probably true about us as individuals. Number one, we're probably all, at some level, we are a lot like Zacchaeus. Because every one of us, myself included, has way too many moments in my life when I'm all about myself, I'm all about money or power or something. All of us can be like Zacchaeus. And you know what? We appear twice in this story. Because as soon as Jesus comes to Zacchaeus and says, come on down, I want to eat with you. Everyone else starts talking, what a sinner he is. How could Jesus eat with this guy? Well, guess what, my friends? Jesus wants to eat with you. Because when he looks at you, yeah, he sees a lot of Zacchaeus traits in your life and in mine. But Jesus comes to us just like he comes to Zacchaeus and says, yeah, I see all of this. I see all this stuff hanging off you that's not very good, that's not very godly. But I want to eat with you. I want you to be at my table. I want to call you my friend. And guys, just think about it. Even as we go downstairs today, there is something incredibly powerful about when we come along and someone else says, I want you to sit with me. I want you to be at my table. There's something incredibly powerful just between humans when we do that. There's something that says, I want to be with you. I want to get to know you. I want to share life with you. Even if it's just over a couple of bowls of soup or whatever we have downstairs. There's something incredibly powerful. So on the one hand, let's be that church that welcomes people to our tables. But on the other hand, let's never forget that Jesus comes along to you. And however Zacchaeus-like we are, and he says, I want you to sit with me. I want you at my table. I want to break bread with you. I want to go to your house. And ultimately, the reason for that, the reason why this amazing, perfect God become man, Jesus Christ, the reason why he would want anything to do with a person like that is because Jesus shows love to Zacchaeus. And I will tell you, beyond all shadow of a doubt, Zacchaeus did not deserve it. He was a crook. He deserved to be up a tree. And just like for me, I deserve not to be with Jesus. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to hang out with him. I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve any of that stuff. But Jesus comes to me, and young people, Jesus comes to you, and big people, Jesus comes to you, and he says, whatever's hanging on your tree, I want you to be with me. I want you to sit at my table. I want you to hang out with my dad. He's God. He's our Father in heaven. Because I love you. You see, my friends, the love that God has for you is far greater than the weight of all of your junk, all of your sins combined. So whatever you have hanging off your tree, yeah, Jesus knows about it. But his love is far greater than that. And no matter how broken, no matter how dirty, no matter how sinful, no matter how messed up we are, how messed up we feel, Jesus Christ says, you, I want you. I want to break bread with you because I love you. And if you feel like I'm repeating myself, go with that feeling. Because I can never be reminded enough of how great and deep and wide and vast is the love that God has for me. And I absolutely don't deserve it. But it's true. And because of the love that God has for me, I can stand before you not ever as a perfect man, but only as a redeemed man who has been saved by Jesus Christ. And it does not matter what is hanging off my tree or yours. The love of God is greater. And all he offers us is the invitation. Because that's all it is. I want to come be with you. I want to break bread with you. I want to offer you eternal life. I want to offer you the fresh start. All you need to do is take it. That's it. And I love the end of the story. Young people, you'll appreciate this too if you're familiar with movies, because here's what happens at the end of the story. God shows love for us. God shows love for Zacchaeus, and then something amazing takes place. Are you ready for it? Here it is. Young people, I need your help. Who is this? That is Optimus Prime. Yes! What is Optimus Prime? He is a transformer. How many of you know this, big people? Let's be honest. How many of you know what transformers are? They are the coolest toy ever. Because Optimus Prime is a gigantic semi-truck that turns into this awesome alien robot that can totally wipe people out. And in real life, if you listen to his voice, he's voiced by Peter Cullen, who also does Eeyore. True story. If you listen, you can hear it. But I love this thing because the idea of a transformer is that you have something that's one thing and it becomes something else. And what we see happening to Zacchaeus is amazing. As he accepts the love of God, as Jesus comes into his life, Zacchaeus is transformed. I want you guys to watch this video. It's the story of Zacchaeus told again from a little different perspective. Go ahead and check it out.
God's story, Zacchaeus. So part of God's story is about Zacchaeus, and it begins like this. Once there was a man named Zacchaeus, let's call him Zac, who lived in a town called Jericho. He was short, and he didn't have many friends. In fact, most people hated Zac. That's because he worked as a tax collector. See, back then, people paid taxes, just like now. But instead of sending money to the government, there were men in every city whose job was taking tax money from people. Problem is, those men usually lied. Zac, like most, took a lot of extra money from a lot of people, and all those people hated him. Anyway, one day Jesus came to Zac's town, and Zac wanted to see him, but so did everybody else. And remember how Zac was really short? Well, he couldn't see Jesus over everybody else's head. So guess what he did? He actually climbed up into a tree to look out over everybody. Now, imagine a grown man climbing up in a tree in the middle of a crowd. People probably thought he was crazy or weird. But Zac was willing to look weird if it meant getting closer to Jesus. From up in the tree, Zac watched as Jesus walked up. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." This was kind of like a famous person inviting themselves over. Except way better. This invitation would change Zac's life. Zac scrambled down the tree to take Jesus to his house. Maybe he thought Jesus didn't know about all the money he had taken or how everybody hated him. But Jesus did know, and he loved Zac anyways. Other people saw this and they were mad. They said, "Jesus has gone into the house of a sinner." They wondered how Jesus could love somebody who had lied and stole their money. The great thing is, Jesus loves all of us, even after we've done things we deserve to get in trouble for, or even after we actually get in trouble. When we see that Jesus loves us anyway, it makes us want to show that kind of love to others. At least that's what happened to Zac. Right away, he wanted to make things right with the people he had hurt. He knew that just saying, "I'm sorry," wasn't enough. So he told Jesus, "I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor." and anyone I cheated, I will pay back 4 times the amount of money I took. When Jesus saw that Zach was willing to accept his love and turn around and show it to others, he said, "My friend, today God has rescued you." And even though Zach had been a liar and a thief who was hated by everyone, he became a friend of Jesus and a part of God's family that very day. And that's the story of Zacchaeus. So, in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Zach was short. He was a tax collector. He stole money. People hated him. Jesus came to town. Zach couldn't see him. He climbed a tree. Jesus told him to come down. Jesus went to his house. Jesus loved Zach. Others were mad. Zach made things right. He became a part of God's family. And that's a part of God's story.
Amen. I love that because what we see is that Zacchaeus was transformed. And it's so cool because, you know, tax collectors, they were mean and they wanted power. And a lot of times they were greedy and they were thieves. And they surely wanted a lot of money. That's why they stole. And they kind of wanted to be in charge and have control. And they were ultimately serving themselves. And Jesus knew all this stuff. But when Jesus came into his life, what we see is that Zacchaeus was transformed. Because the first thing he wanted to do is he wanted to serve. He wanted to help the poor. And he said, "I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor people." Now, are we saying that you have to give half of all of your money to the poor? No, I'm just saying that's what happened when Zach was transformed. And all of a sudden, he's not worried about himself anymore. He's worried about, did I cheat anybody? Did I steal from anybody? Did anyone get a raw deal because of me? I'm going to make it right. And not just, you know, I'm giving their money back. I'm going to give them back extra. So he's worried about others instead of himself. And all of a sudden, he said, you know what? All this was happening because he started to obey God. After he experienced God's love, it started showing up in the way that he obeyed. And the really cool part about all of it, all of a sudden Zach became one of the good guys. All of a sudden Zacchaeus was transformed from a selfish sinner into a generous giver who loved Jesus Christ so very much. Now I want to be really clear about something. I don't want anyone to miss this. I don't want anyone to get it wrong. Because it's a little confusing in the passage when it says that Zacchaeus said, "Hey, I'm going to do all this stuff." And then Jesus said, "Today salvation came from this house." So let me be really clear. Zacchaeus giving away his stuff did not save him. Okay? And here's what we believe. We believe that it's for grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, not by the things we do, so that no one can boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So Zach was not saved by giving away his stuff by becoming generous. Zach wasn't saved by that. Zach didn't get to go to heaven because of that. But here's what that means. Check out the next verse in Ephesians. Oh, sorry, that might be hard to read. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And what that means is after we are saved, after we place our faith in Jesus Christ, part of the way we know is we do stuff different. So Zacchaeus giving away his stuff is not what saved him. Zacchaeus giving away his stuff is the evidence that the transformation had happened. Zacchaeus becoming generous was the evidence that Jesus Christ had touched him and had saved him. And he was a different man because of it. And all of a sudden he goes from being the greedy jerk to being someone who is remarkably generous. So my friends, here's my question for you as the big people here. As you look back on your lives, if you're here and you're saying, "I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus," praise God for that. I love to hear the stories of, "This is who I was, this is who Jesus made me to be. And I can see, because I do stuff differently. My life is different now." And if you're here and you're saying, I believe in Jesus, but my life is really the same, I invite you, come and talk to me sometime. And it doesn't have to be giving away half your stuff, but I guess I'm asking you, as you look inward at your life, can you see a difference made by Jesus Christ in your life if you are a Christian? Can you tell? I'm pretty sure the people around Zacchaeus knew really fast something's different. When all of a sudden you're getting a refund from the tax guy that you didn't deserve, or well, maybe you did. But in that day and age, you're getting a refund, something's different. And if you're here, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, here's my question for you. Do you want to see your life experience transformation? Because here's the honest truth, and I have a lot of friends who are counselors and psychologists. Some are Christian, some are not. But here's what they all say. If someone is not a Christian and they have problems in their life, the only thing they can do is cope. The only thing that the best we can do without Jesus is manage the problem. The only way we experience transformation of this life now and the only way we experience eternal life later is by believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it may not be the magical thing, kind of like what happened to Zacchaeus, where bam, overnight he was different. But I can tell you this, the only change that's happened in my life that's been for real has been Jesus Christ making it happen. Because every time I try, I fail. The only way to achieve transformation of this life, the only way to achieve newness of eternal life after we die, is through relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're here, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, here's my question. Do you want to experience your life being transformed? It is only possible by believing in Jesus Christ. And my invitation to you is this. After the service, I'm always right down here up in front. I know we got a meal to serve. You're welcome to join us. You're welcome to grab me at dinner. I don't care. But if you have any questions, if you're saying, yeah, I need my life to change, and I'm not sure how to get there, I'll be right here. I'd love to answer any questions that you have. I would love to introduce you to what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. And if you're ready, man, I'd love to pray with you today. Jesus Christ transformed Zacchaeus. Jesus Christ still transforms lives today. He's waiting to transform yours. Let me pray. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you so much for the witness of your word. We thank you so much for Zacchaeus, for the way that he has been or was transformed by your love for him. And Father, I lift up to you everyone in the sound of my voice this morning, and Lord, I simply ask that if there's anyone here that needs to experience the transforming touch, the transforming power of Jesus Christ, would your Holy Spirit just ever so gently, ever so lovingly, just touch them in the heart that they know. And Father, we just praise you for your love, that you love us exactly as we are, and you transform us into who you would have us to be. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friends, here's my invitation. Young people, yes, Lord, come on. Would you guys stand with us in worship, and then afterwards, you guys are all invited to join us and break bread with us and to have a great meal together. But right now, we're going to praise God one more time. Amen? One should be familiar, yes? The tree is there, yes. Would you like the tree to move?
Stone, I was covered in shame when cross where he died for me. He's my only hope, he's my everything. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is holy.
Cannot face this stuff without you. So I invite you to come into my life as my Savior. I invite you to come into my life as my Lord. Fix this and take care of it. Jesus, I need you. I need you now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, if that's you, if you have prayed that prayer with me, as simple as it is, come find me sometime today up here, downstairs, whenever. I want to tell you a little bit more about what that means. Because right now, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way that we experience freedom. He's the way that we experience love and joy and peace. He's the way that we break the chains off of our life. We've got one more song to sing, so I just invite you to join us as we celebrate that. How great and awesome God is at setting us free. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus is my everything. Amen? He sets us free. Are you free?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I need some kids to get up and move because some of the adults are just going to stand here. So, and that's okay. That's okay. But it's all right to move too because Jesus sets us free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory, glory, hallelujah, you threw my shackles.
go back again. That's just not who I am. Lord, I'm a brand new man. I'm going free. I'm on a narrow road. You take the grace and hope. It's gonna lead me home. I'm going free. I'm going free. Going, going. Glory, glory, hallelujah, through my shackles in the sea. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus is my liberty. Glory, glory, hallelujah, through my shackles in the sea. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus is my liberty.
Are tired, are you?
No,
no, of course not. We got a big potluck coming up. And oh, you guys are just dying, aren't you?
Yeah, they're hungry. They're hungry.
Let me help you out. 1, 2, 3, sing!
Glory, glory, hallelujah. You threw my shackles in the sea. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus is my liberty. Glory, glory, hallelujah, you threw my shackles in the sea. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus is my liberty.
I'm going free. Let's sing a good old one, okay? Ready? Go.
Well, some glad morning when this life is all out. I'll fly away. There's just a glory
mercy of thy back, I fly away when I die. Hallelujah, by and by
been asked to pray for the meal. You are welcome to join us. It's downstairs. I'll be up here for a little bit if you need prayer. Do me a favor. As Jesus has invited you to sit at his table, do the same for others today. Amen? Invite people you don't know to sit with you. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for this meal. We thank you for a chance to fellowship, to hang out, and enjoy each other's company. Father, we just thank you for the food. We thank you for the hands that are preparing it, the hands that are serving it. Lord, may our time together just be a blessing for your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you and in all things. Give you peace. Amen.